I asked my wife yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I said, who comes to your mind when I say an honorable person? And so she said, what's the definition of honorability? Right? That's a fair enough question. And what would you say is the definition? What does it mean to be honorable? What do you think? What does it mean to be honorable? An honorable person is someone who believes in truth and doing the right thing and tries to live up to that principle, right? Do you remember hearing that old saying, a man's word is his pledge, right? Honorability. Speaking the truth, even when it's unpopular, right? Being loyal when it's tempting to be disloyal. Giving because you've understood the joy of giving. Standing up to do what is right, even when it hurts. Ooh, that's good. And being willing to forgive others. Yeah, it's good stuff. Honorability. What's the test of honorability? So there's a story, it's an old, mythical tale of the Lord appearing to a man who lost his axe in a pond. And there's a story in the Bible about that with Elijah. But this is a mythical story about the Lord showing up and asking the man what was troubling him, and he said, "Lord, I lost my precious axe." And the story goes that the Lord reached into the pond with that large outstretched arm of his and pulls out a golden axe head and says to the man, "Is this your axe?" The man looks at the golden axe and says, "No, Lord, it's not." The Lord nods his head and reaches back into the pond and pulls up a silver axe. And he says to the man, "Is this your axe?" The man looks at the shiny silver and looks at the Lord and says, "No, Lord, this is not my axe." The Lord nods his head, reaches back into the pond and pulls out the iron axe, hands it to the man and says, "Is this your axe?" "Yes, Lord, that's my axe." And the Lord looks at the man and says, "Because you are an honorable man, I will give you all three." Honorability, right? I got to tell you that there was a version of that story that was repeated underneath when I found it as an illustration about a man who was distraught, losing his wife in the river, calling out to the Lord and the Lord appearing and the Lord reaching into the river and pulling out a woman who was Angelina Jolie and says to the man, "Is this your wife?" And the man says, "Yes." And the Lord shakes his head and says, "No." But the man says, "Lord, I remember the story of the axes, and I knew if I would say no, you would reach in next and pull out Cameron Diaz, and then if I would say no, you would reach in again and pull out my wife." He says, "Lord, I'm a poor man. I can't afford three women." The excuses that we could make, right, for being less than honorable. Honorability is so important to God. Our God is honorable. Amen? He really, really is. Whenever I was working on this message today, I had one passage of scripture in mind, and we'll be turning there briefly in a moment, and it's Romans chapter 2. Because the title of this message, you see, is It Pays to Be Honorable. It pays to be honorable. And we'll see that in this text. But in doing that study, there were so many other scriptures that that speak also to this same principle. Like Psalm 15, you remember this psalm? It's a short psalm, and so I'll read it to you here today. It says, O Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? And the answer is given and says in verse 2, He whose walk is blameless and does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and no slander is on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. It says, He who does these things will never be shaken. The Proverbs 21:21 says, He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. It's no wonder that when Jesus walked upon the earth, his words were, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said, for they will be filled. Hosea said, Sow for yourself righteousness and reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness upon you. Well, my friends, this is what has been given to us through Christ. We are made the righteousness of Christ when our faith is placed upon Him. The picture that I'd like to paint for you today is seeing yourself wrapped in the white robe of righteousness that Jesus Christ gives to all who believe upon Him, that when God looks upon you, He sees no stain of sin. You are made the righteousness of God. But I got to tell you, what a gift that is. That is not to be taken for granted. For you see, I believe very truly that the scripture that I'm about to read to you teaches us that even though righteousness is a gift given to us, our life must then reflect the gratitude of such a gift in the way we live, in the way we try to live. To try to live up to that great high calling, to try to live a noble life, an honorable life, to try to live in the light of the righteousness that has been given to us. Amen? So let's read this verse together, our text for the day, Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 11. It says in Romans 2, verse 6, that God will give to each person according to what he has done. Verse 7, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. It says there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. Remember this catchphrase, selfishness is the thief of honor. Selfishness is the thief of honor. Our world is reaping the results of selfishness run rampant. People self-seeking, considering whatever it takes to get what they want, not considering others. Doing whatever that is needed to get what they want, even if it's not the honorable thing. I tell you the truth, it's why we're having such a trouble, and I don't think for a moment I'm going to go any further than what I'm about to say, but it's why all of us are having such a struggle with the election right now. Because we seek an honorable man to vote for, an honorable woman to vote for. And I believe we're coming up short. It's why it's so hard. For we know instinctively, and also by the inspiration of God's Spirit, that what God desires is leaders who will lead in righteousness. Amen? Our world has to come to understand that life is not a game without consequences. You see, God will have a day of judgment. We know that from the Scriptures. We know that everyone will stand before God. This Scripture in Romans is interesting because Paul was the one who championed the message of salvation by faith, not by works, lest anyone would boast. You remember? Paul is the champion of that message, that theology, that powerful, powerful message that has changed the life of so many men and women. He's the one who made it so clear in the book of Romans, in the book of Ephesians, that our gift through faith is salvation. It is not something that we earn by our good works. But in this passage of Scripture, Paul also makes it clear that anyone who has truly understood the power of that gift will try to live out that gift in their actions. You see, God will judge faith that day by the difference it has made in your life, by the difference it has made in the way you live. And if you have received this gift, yet there is no change in your life, something's wrong. Say amen. In the Scriptures, the principle of spiritual privilege carrying very spiritual responsibilities is clear. It's why Jesus judged the Pharisees so strictly, so harshly, because they had been given the law. They had been given the task of being the examples. And what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? You govern these people by the laws of men, but your hearts are far from me. For the Lord looks into the heart and sees there the result of faith. A heart that is repentant before God, a heart that is so soft and tender that when you do wrong, the Holy Spirit is able to immediately convict you, and that conviction drives you to God. And again, receiving His forgiveness. Because you don't want to be out of step with God or His Spirit. You want to stay in communion with Him. And even though you know you are not perfect, you say to the Lord, Lord, make me more like You. Work in me and help me to become a better man, a better woman. Amen? In the Scriptures, there are great examples of people of integrity and character and honorability. And one of the ones that I'll share with you very briefly is the story of David. Now, we know of David's sin, but make no mistake about it, David was a man of character. Sure, his sin shows the vulnerability of every person, right? But when you study his life, you find out that he was a man of honor. Do you remember the time when King Saul was pursuing David unjustly? And David, not once but twice, had the opportunity to end Saul's life. But he would not. A man of integrity, a man of character, a man of honor. There Saul was pursuing David relentlessly, trying to take his life, no question. And David, in a cave, finds himself in a crazy predicament where Saul, the very one who was seeking to take his life, came into that cave where David and his men were hiding. It would have been so easy for David to take the life of Saul that day. And quite frankly, not one of David's men would have said anything about it. But David says to his men, I will not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. He says in different words than these, I'll just paraphrase it for you. He says, the Lord will take care of things. He puts it in the Lord's hands and lets Saul go. Let Saul go. Not once, but twice. Again, at night, there he is, camped across from Saul and his army. Saul again, trying to pursue David to kill him. And David sneaks into the camp of Saul, goes to his tent, and picks up the spear and water jug that are Saul's with his seal on them and carries them off until daylight and cries out to Saul again saying, here I am, just like a flea that you're pursuing. Yet the Lord again gave you into my hands, but I refuse to take your life. Here is your spear. Here's your water jug. It's your seal. And Saul had to confess that day that the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness. The Lord delivered Saul into David's hand, but David would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. And even Saul knew that God would reward David for that kind of honorability. Even Saul recognized a man of honor. A man of honor. God sees, God rewards honorability. I remember, and I've told this story before, the story of Cornelius in the Bible, who was a soldier in the Roman army, in the Italian regiment, a centurion over 100 men. And it says in the scriptures this testimony that he was a devout man, righteous and upright in his heart, giving generously to those who were in need. And do you remember what God did for Cornelius? The man who did not know Jesus, he made sure that Cornelius and his whole family came to know Christ. And as a result of it, Cornelius and his whole family were saved. Why? Because God saw his heart, a man of integrity, a man of honor. And God said, that man I want to reach for. He is a man after my own heart. You see, in our lives, we come to God just as we are, right? And God receives us just as we are. It's the miracle of God's unconditional love as He looks upon us and receives us just as we are. And we come to Him humbly. And we realize that with the gift God's given me, now I want to live the kind of life that God wants me to live. In this story in the news this week, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a story about a taxi driver that finds $187,000 in his back seat. What would you do? $187,000 in his back seat. And a taxi driver turns it in, instead of keeping it for himself. Older guy. And it just so happened that the money was the money of a man who used to be homeless and actually got word of an inheritance from a relative and came into that money that has now changed his life. Would have all been gone if the taxi driver would have been a little less than honorable, right? You know, I got to stand up here today and say something hard. 15 years ago, I was leaving church one day. And while this story is kind of hard to believe, it's true. In the middle of the road, right in the middle of a little two-lane road, was a set of golf clubs. Nobody around, no cars around. And I stop the car and I get out of the car and I'm looking. It's a half-decent set of golf clubs. And I am so sad to tell you that I kept those golf clubs. You know, it wasn't long until the Lord really put his finger on that in my life. And I realized that I had already been a pastor for a while. And the example that I had just gave to my family was a terrible one. It was a heavy weight. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, change me. So that if under the circumstances ever again, I would do whatever it took to return those clubs, to try to find the owner." I've not been tested like that lately. But I pray, my friends, that today I would pass that test. I pray that in 15 years I've learned, amen, and that I've changed. In the scriptures, there's a man named Zacchaeus, and I'll close with this story today. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and in those days, the way that a tax collector made money was by charging more than what the Romans needed, wanted, demanded, and whatever the difference was between what they charged the person and what the Romans demanded was their salary. So if a tax collector wanted to get rich, what would he do? He would charge more than what was fair, more than what was just. That's why tax collectors were hated in those days. People knew this, and they knew how they got rich, the ones that did. So very interestingly, when Jesus comes upon Zacchaeus, now the part our kids remember about this story, because we teach them the little song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he," right? So he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Yes, he did. For the Lord he wanted to see. But more important to the story is the fact that the Lord saw him and his heart seeking what he did not have. And so, very interestingly, when the Lord Jesus comes upon Zacchaeus, he stops in the middle of the procession and he looks up into the tree and he says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I must eat at your house today. For today salvation has come." And Zacchaeus' answer was very interesting. He says, "Lord," in response to salvation given freely, Zacchaeus says, "Lord, if I have wronged anyone, I will pay them back fourfold." A response to a gift of salvation. So my friends, my loved ones, what will inspire you today to be a better person? Whenever we are at the end of our lives, I hope that they will say of us, there was an honorable man, an honorable woman, one who lived their faith, receiving the gift of God. Amen? We come to God just as we are, and we ask Him, Lord, search my heart and help me to be the person you know I can be, the person made in your image and your likeness. Make me more like you, Lord. You see, this is God's desire, not just to save you, but to make you into the person that God knows you can be. But it takes our willingness, doesn't it? It takes an openness, an honesty, a transparency before the Lord. It takes a willing heart and just an open heart that says, God, I need you. Many people today are not close to God. You know why, church? Because they don't perceive they have a need for God. But I tell you what, we need Him so much, don't we? Every moment of every day, we need Him. And I challenge you this morning, you know, in the light of communion and the gift that's given to us, the remembrance of that gift, that now at this time, you be willing to open your heart to a loving God and say to Him, Lord, change me. Help me. Help me to be the person you call me to be. With your help, Lord, by your Spirit. Would you do that today? Let's stand as we worship.